Welcome to Botches Off-Road. Join us as we talk about everything from gear reviews to trail stories, tent camping to rock landing, and all things to do with the outdoors. Today, we got a little 30-minute episode here with the boys, Alex and Mark. And I think we're going to do some radio chatter. What do you guys think?
Sounds good to me.
I figure we can get through a couple cards. So,
yeah. So I guess let's start out with Alex. I think you got the cards, right?
Yeah, I'm shuffling them now, and I've got a method so that I'm surprised by whatever I draw. Because so the After the Dark cards, they've got this back. It's
sure.
A little campfire. And then the standard ones have the
vehicle the CV handle.
Radio.
Yeah.
So I can't even look at the backs to be surprised. So I'm going to shuffle them, and then I'm going to close my eyes and draw the four off the bottom. Or just draw four, and then you guys will pick a number between one and four, and that's how we'll be surprised.
Sure. Sounds very complicated. Alex has got his eyes closed right now. Look of concentration. He looks like Kratos's like nerdy cousin from Manton.
All right, I got four cards. Pick a number between one and four. You got to agree on it, though.
Two.
All right. So card number two. What piece of gear has worked better than expected?
My Max Tracks.
They only work as a platform for a track.
And they work every time. No, that's kind of a hard one, because what piece of gear has worked better than expected? I don't have a lot of trust in air compressors nowadays, and the Thor's Lightning air compressor has been kicking ass lately and taking names, and it's been airing up everybody's tires. And having no issues whatsoever. So that would probably be mine. That having that Anderson connector on the front of my truck, so I don't have to pop my hood every second, just plugging that thing in and going, has been really nice. So I would probably say the Thor's Lightning air compressor for me.
Mark, what's yours?
Trying to think.
Well, I got mine ready to go.
Yeah, my
Our $100 Walmart tents.
Oh, yeah.
Yep, that's fair.
That's
they're
good one.
Big. They're quick. I mean, for a large ground tent, they're what, like 14 by 10 or something like that?
Sounds about right.
For a tent that large, it takes us under 5 minutes to set one up. Like, that's great for $100.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, okay. What about you, Mark? What do you think?
Trying to think, because that was a good one. I totally forgot about that. What else could I think of? Can't say compressor, because mine is
cracked now. Yeah, it spit out one screw and ran it through a piston. So I stole Gavin's old compressor and rebuilt it. And then the other side did the exact same thing.
Mm-hmm. Have you tested out your deflators yet?
I have not yet.
Damn.
Because I don't have a compressor to refill it, so I haven't bothered with that yet.
How about your lighting? Anything you got that dual beam lighting or whatever?
I guess it'll be the dual beam lighting. That came out pretty good. I'm quite glad it was not. I'm glad the price was perfect for it, because it was like a 140 something. Like, some of those can go up to like 500, depending what brand you went through.
Was it the whole headlight assembly or just a bulb?
No, just a bulb.
And what does that do?
So it's, you plug into, ironically, mine was a fog light bulb, so it was quite finicky finding out about that one, what bulb I actually needed. So I went with what was recommended based off of what bulb type it was. All you do is plug and play. You take... So you got a little snap ring You got to take it off the bulb first, put it in the socket, and then you put the bulb in and twist it, and it locks in place. Got to make sure the light panel is facing 9 and 3. Get locked in, and then it's just a matter of toggling all the way on and then toggling back at least once. Actually, you don't have to toggle all the way back like it says to do. And you just flip through what setting you want, yellow or clear.
Yeah, that's pretty nice to be able to run daylight yellows or daylight clear or daylight whites or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's pretty cool. So let me ask this then. Alex, reread that card if you have it still up. Do you have it?
Yeah, I do. What piece of gear has worked better than expected?
Okay, so let me just be a negative Nancy and prompt that. What piece of gear worked way worse than expected for us? And I think I'm going to start with this one, too. My jet boil for cooking food did way worse than I was expecting because it's got such a pointed flame and heat source that, let's say, if I'm cooking a steak, the middle of that steak is burnt to a crisp. The outside of it is not so good. So
now, Hold up. Don't be inventing cards. That's already a card that we'll read at another point.
Well, I was just curious. I didn't know that would be a card. You know, I've never done the radio chatter. So I was kind of curious to see what everybody's worst things that, you know, the worst things that they purchased and how, you know, it didn't
I'll say it now and I'll say it again in the future. The all-top air compressor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's both of their answers because that really kind of...
Oh. That's one of them, but for me, it's my Amazon bumper swing out.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, we just had our other episode of that thing. So,
but you didn't buy that. So,
no, I didn't buy it, but still.
Yeah. The thing, it took a beating when he got stuck and we tried pulling him out. And
Not that one. The
swing out. No. Yeah. Your swing out. Let's just say your front bumper took a beating too. So, yeah.
All right. I'll draw 4 more cards.
Alex, you picked I'm sorry, Mark, you picked this one.
Okay.
All right, number between 1 and 4.
Let's do 4.
All right. So number 4. Oh, hey, this one doesn't have playing card on the front, so this is a dirty card.
Uh-oh.
What is something you can say while on the trails and in the bedroom? Hey, you see that dirt road over there? I'm going on it. Or I'm going down it.
That wasn't so hard, was it?
No.
It didn't look as rough as I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, that was rougher than I thought it was to be. Maybe we don't try that position ever again.
I don't really like going off camber.
Yeah.
That looked a little deeper than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, right.
That wasn't as deep as I expected.
Yeah. Wow, that was quick. There's so many, man.
Yes.
This hole's been rode a little too hard.
Hey, man, I think you sprung a leak.
Yeah, that one... There's a lot we could say on that card. That's just a great card.
It is.
Yeah, I figure we can kind of work through these. I'd like to go through the whole deck, and then we can give a really good review to the radio chatter guys.
Yeah.
But we're at... Yeah, we got time for another one.
Oh, yeah.
I'm trying to draw them from different parts of the deck. Since I can't really shuffle, so I don't know what they are or how they are. All right, I got 4. Pick 1 through 4.
1.
What is the longest road trip you have ever taken?
That would be, for me, relatively... newer for us, but when Sienna and I took our maiden voyage with the FJ to do the waterfalls in the UP, we did probably 3,000 combined or something like that miles. Wow. We went up from, we started in Grant, went up across the bridge and traveled almost the whole coast of Superior, starting from St. Ignace to Newberry up to, oh, Pine Stump Junction, all the way up through the top part of Superior. Did, you know, Munising and Manistee, and then kind of went south and took the bottom coast all the way back. We made it to, I think, Leance being like the farthest, I think, we ended up going with the time that we had. And yeah, dude, that was long. We did, Jasper was still pretty young, so that was kind of a really, it was like throwing the gauntlet, but absolutely, you know, the most fun that we've had in a long time. We loved it. Can't wait to do that again. But that was probably, 3,000 combined, probably.
Mine would have been Sierra Vista, Arizona to Grant, Michigan. I don't know how many miles that is, but it's easy to find out.
Yep.
But that, I did that in about like 35 hours straight through.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's only 1900 miles, but
holy crap.
That is a.
Nope.
You got me double checking now. 'Cause 3000 miles seems like not a real thing now. 'Cause I thought it was three. Let me double check. Mark, why don't you go real quick? I got to fact check myself.
Mine would be a while ago. I think it was back in seventh grade. Yeah, because I just got off my crutches from twisting both my ankles. I went out to a relative's wedding out in Vermont. Round total was like 1,800 miles.
Damn.
Yep.
Yeah, I did Sierra Vista to Grant, and then 2 weeks later did Grant to Sierra Vista. Both of them straight through. That's alone, mind you. Oh, I had a dog, if that counts. And I was in an 800 horsepower Ram 1500 on race fuel at $10 a gallon. That wasn't the best choice, I guess.
Right. No, that's it's a lot. I think, yeah, okay. Let me rescind what I said earlier about 3,000. It's closer. My first part of the vacation stretch was 500 miles. My second one was 400 miles. So that's at 900.
Yep.
And the third part of the stretch, which didn't record all the way, was another 400 miles. So definitely not 3,000 miles. I am sorry. it's closer
it to felt like that long.
Yeah, it definitely felt like a long time. But that was, so that's what, more like 1,300, 1,500 miles. So that's, that definitely felt like a long time. But let's do one more. Let's do one more.
Oh, we got time for a couple more.
Yeah, cool.
All right, pick 1 through 4.
Is that you, Mark?
3.
What is your favorite camp meal?
Ooh, that's a good one.
I really like those
fish tacos.
I was just going to say those tacos that Mark made.
Yeah, those are good, dude.
I don't know. I like hobo meals a lot. They just take a long time to make.
Yes, they
hobo
do.
Hobo meals are great. I will say your hobo meal and my hobo meal is very different. I didn't know that's what when I say hobo meal, I'm thinking hobo pie makers. That's, so
a lot of people have that thought.
Yeah, hobo pizzas. Oh man, those are fucking great. And then follow it off with a hobo cherry pie.
Whereas mine are more hobo packets with a bunch of different meats and butter, and they make like the best roast that you've ever had. Mm. They're better with venison, but
yeah, I think the one thing we needed more was hot sauce in those.
100%. But the girls, well, my wife is a wimp when it comes to hot sauce.
Oh, yeah.
Mine too. So we have to add that later.
Yeah. No, those are good.
Yeah, I think my favorite is hobo packets as well.
Yeah, I love a good steak and potato. You know, you do like a nice steak in the pan, because I contrary to some popular belief, I like pan steaks, and in a cast iron pan probably better than fire. But
I like pan seared steaks, and then I might throw them on a grill to get grill lines, and that's it.
Yeah. But I'll do steaks, and then I'll make some like fried mushrooms and onions and the juices that I cook the steak in the pan. And then we'll follow it off with the like for mashed me, potatoes. But my perfect one is a steak. Then you have the fried vegetables like that, the mushroom onion, a couple slices of feta cheese and a fried egg. Still runny, and that's my heaven right there. You do some real nice sea salt on top of that, maybe a couple of fresh cherry tomatoes. Oh, eating like kings, man. And it's really not all that expensive. The steaks you could do cheap, just beat the shit out of them to tenderize them.
All right, 1 through 4.
Two.
How do you keep everything organized? This might finish us off.
Yeah. I'll start off because mine's probably the worst. As far as organization goes, I have a shelf built in the back of my FJ currently out of wood. I have a cheap, like 4 or 5 drawer plastic, I don't know what you call them, those plastic dollar store drawers. It's $10. I just threw that in the back for putting all like my coffee and my other stuff in there. And then I have, you know, a fridge and stuff for keeping things organized. In the future, that's going to change. But that's kind of where I'm at this point.
Packouts. So many packouts. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I will say my pack out cooler, it's the most expensive cooler I've ever bought, but it's by far the best cooler I've ever bought.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have to put up pictures of how loaded up my truck was when we went to Drummond that second time.
Oh yeah, dude, that was terrible.
two gray crates, you know, technically that first one was not even useful at all because it was just random stuff I had in the bed of the truck.
And then the big cooler just strapped on top of all of it.
Yes. I am so glad we're doing the pack out route and getting rid of that.
So much cleaner.
Beyond that is just dropping my back seat down, and you have that giant layout for a storage right there when I don't need anyone in the back.
Yeah, that's nice. Yeah, it's eventually, man, I can't wait to see what mine kind of turns out into. I'm going to build my whole back end out of wood to try to maximize every inch. We'll see. I really like the pack out idea, but I really just leaning back to just maximizing every inch I got by doing it with custom wood.
I think you can max it out, especially you mount a pack out to the back one of your seats. You have that seat folded down.
He's going to put the fridge there.
No, the fridge is probably going to end up staying for now. I can't do any seats folded down currently.
Well, when you move your kid, we mean.
Yeah. When my kid moves, shoot. Yeah, a lot of things will change. But like if he goes into a booster seat, that affects how my seats will actually be able to move and how much space it takes. So
being able to put Jackson on the side is so nice because I can just pack whatever I want in that other seat.
Yeah, because what would happen is I have a two-person bench-style seat, and then I have a single, which is behind me. But Jasper cannot sit behind me with the car seat, how far back I have mine that's comfortably.
Yeah, that'll be the one you put down.
That one, when I put that down, it doesn't really give that much more. I mean, it gives a comparatively to like what it's, if I was to move the fridge to that side, it would help a little bit, but the door also opens on that side, so I'm pulling the fridge right into the door.
Yeah, but that's where you mount pack outs in there.
Oh, okay. I might do like a pack out accessible by the suicide door there.
Mm-hmm.
That might be something I do that way.
Yeah.
Or maybe a couple different pack outs. And I think if I do that, it's going to be like spare parts or something like that. Like I definitely see a use for packouts for me for, like tools. Hey, I need electrical stuff that I grab my whole packout drawer for electrical or whatever.
I also think that if you did packouts in the back, that you would end up with a lot more storage than you're expecting. Cause you could shove things like blankets and stuff in between the packouts.
Yeah. That's hopefully my blankets will be all situated and stuff up top. I might end up going to packouts eventually, but in my head, the way that I want to do it specifically for what I have is looking like it makes more sense, you know, to build it custom, but it might change very well. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I'm not closed off to the idea. I just want to try doing it that way first.
Yeah,
and seeing if I could do it. I know the one thing that's going to have to change is my fridge slide.
Yeah,
and because it's too long for the fridge I have, and it hits the back of the seat because of that. So
we should build you one that's got like a two stage. So you pull it out and you can have like a table, but then you pull it out farther to get the fridge out.
Yeah, the one that I'm looking at, it's like $200. And it's like got like 100-pound capacity. It's got a cutting board that slides down underneath it. Mm-hmm. And it's the exact size of my fridge. It's almost perfect for that setup. But we'll see when we get there. Bison Gear, I think, is the place I'm looking at it. It's actually enclosed. So there's a metal grate above it, and it also can tilt. So it'd be interesting to see. I might do something like that. We'll see.
All right. We got time for one more card.
Okay.
All right. You pick it this time, Alex. Just pick it blind.
We're going to go with three. Would you rather have a scenic journey or a scenic destination?
Journey.
Okay. So it depends. Does the journey have challenging obstacles and scenic? Because then journey. But if the journey is just going to be pretty side roads, then I'd rather have a nice destination to camp at.
Yeah, I think it's about, still... Go ahead, sorry.
I was about to say, I probably am in the same agreements with you there, Alex.
I'm going to pick journey still. I think I'm going to use, for example, Two-Hearted. Like nothing hard to get to Two-Hearted campground, but the forest roads, the little two tracks that you take to get there are just gorgeous and scenic. And I enjoy going on that at a good 20 to 30 mile an hour and just kind of chugging away at that just as much.
Is the campground pretty too?
Yeah. Yeah. A Two-Hearted is gorgeous.
So what I'm saying is, you know, in the context of the question, they say, what would you rather have? So would you rather have
a I see what you're saying, that the destination's not necessarily as good.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Shit, I'd almost think I think my answer would stay the same. I think that we've had really good days of just travel and gorgeous days, beautiful trails, and then us having to kind of take a less than optimal camp area to just have a place to be. And it's not super gorgeous. It's just tucked away in the woods. It's kind of meh. I think I'm still okay with that. I think I'm still okay with the day of the, let's say we travel 5 to 6, 7 hours a day, being great, and then just having kind of a meh. Or, I mean, you're just staying there for a night anyway. So
now what's funny about you saying that is you always tell me that to you, it's not about the journey. It's about the destination.
I do.
Yes, you have in the past.
You say that pretty. That's why you don't care about hard trails, because you just care about getting somewhere pretty.
No, well, that's kind of an in between. I don't care about hard trails because the trails aren't what I'm looking at as far as difficulty. Like, the difficulty thing isn't what gets me going. It's the scenic stuff on the way, like the cliff sides and stuff that we were seeing going up to or passing the bridge and stuff, seeing that stuff and the journey to that is, I love that. It's the crazy off camber, the stuff that makes you sweat a little bit that could ruin your rig and destroy your weekend or your week. That stuff for me, that's not what I enjoy. So that's kind of what I meant by that. Like I love the journey. I don't love when we get to those spots. Those are scary spots for me because they take out my rig. They take out the plan, you know.
I like overcoming adversity. So when something goes wrong, as bad as this sounds, like, I don't try to make things happen on the trail.
No, you don't.
But the ingenuity that we have when something happens, I really enjoy that part of wheeling.
Yeah, I could see that's definitely a plus for sure. Like let's say for our poker run when Mark's tire DB'd, the ingenuity that we all had to get everything done and to get your wheel on, us working together as a team. Yep. In hindsight, for me, that was great. That was such a cool moment in hindsight. As I was doing it, I was like, this fucking blow. Like, I don't see it like that, but after I do.
So. My two favorite moments on a trail, one of them was just outside of Phoenix. We were wheeling with a couple of buddies and one of their buddies, and their buddy was driving a Jeep, an XJ. I think it was like a 97 or something. And his driver's side wheel, the entire axle just decided to snap and slide out. So he strapped a log to his wheel and just skied his truck down the mountain to get it to a recovery point.
Which is,
and then
fun hindsight, but I imagine if you're that guy,
it was so fun at the time.
For me, if that was to happen, all I could think about, and we've talked about me being more of the cynical, you know, the safety officer being more the glass half empty, but I'm looking at it as now I have to fix this. Now I can't do that. Now I can't finish my trip because we have to do this, this, and this. I mean, to me, that's a hindrance. Whereas me taking a set of trails on Onyx that I've never been on before, it's all new. It's all beautiful. I don't necessarily care about how crazy they are, like what they're rated at. Of course, finding a couple spots here and there that are like, ooh, this is, you know, this is gnarly or this is cool. Let's just get past it and go. That's cool. But when you start getting into, like, let's say if I was alone and I did those Everett trails, oh man, dude, I would have been white knuckling and not having a great day if that was a larger portion of an adventure that I was having with my family. I'd be like, don't have a winch set up. Don't have proper. I do have proper recovery, but only when I'm traveling with other people.
Right.
So it's like, though, this is not fun to me. The destination, so, though. Yeah.
The second time we were with my buddy who had a Suzuki Samurai. And I mean, we were on like normal, like Arizona forest roads. So, you know, they're kind of whoopy and have mountains and stuff. But he came up over this hill at like probably 65. And he just launched that little Samurai. He was a good 8 foot off the ground, dude. And this motherfucker came down and bounced and landed like on his passenger side roof corner and then rolled onto his roof. And getting him out of that situation was so freaking fun. And then once we had it rolled back over onto its wheels, we checked the oil. Oil was fine. So we started it up and drove it back to post.
You know what? You know what? I can identify with this feeling that you kind of feel, but for me, that happens in shitty weather. So like, I always tell people I'm like a drama queen when it comes to like shitty weather. Like when they're like, dude, there's going to be like 12 inches of snow. Everything's closed. Like people are boxed in their houses. Can't get out. There's power outage. That's when I'm like, yeah, this is, I'm having a bot, like figuring that out. The ingenuity, helping other people out. That's like my fun. But like when it directly, directly will either impact me or the family as far as like the trip keeping going. Yeah. No. I'm good on that. But yeah, man, that was fun. That these radio chatter. I've never done this before. This is pretty fun.
Yeah. Like I said, I'd like to work our way through the deck. I figured that gives us lots of 30-minute episodes, and yeah. I think they're fun. It answers a lot of questions. So any listeners that really need it, it'll be there for them to get to. So.
Yeah. So on that, man, we appreciate you guys for listening on this little 30-minute episode of Radio Chatter, and we'll see you next time.
Later. See ya.